Welcome to episode 13 of the Sofa King podcast titled Bigfoot and Big Religion. This week we discuss two different topics in a way that only your three hosts, Brad, Brent, and Dave, can. These topics are the myth of Bigfoot and the facts of religion. From local evangelists to the Pope, religion draws humans to a collected sense of community and faith. But why? And should they? In episode 13, we look at the power and wealth of churches, ideas of faith, the money they make, their tax-exempt status, and the lunatics and televangelists that exploit people's faith for money and power. Spoiler alert, Odin might make an appearance. So put on your Bigfoot suit and take some grainy pictures of any religious figure you want to, except for Mohammed, and listen up as we ask Brad to drop that funky intro.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King. Retard.
You say funny things.
Happen. So if God created, you know, the earth,
yes,
and on the seventh day he rested, what day did he create Sasquatch?
And was he on the ark?
Oh,
that's a good question. Well, was Bigfoot on the ark?
Was
that's
Bigfoot
the best
on
segue.
The ark? Well, Noah's ass found a female and a male Bigfoot,
mm-hmm,
and put him on the fucking ark.
He probably got them all lit up on tobacco, too.
That's how he got them on the ark. They have a tobacco. They're straight up hooked on cigarettes. They're out there. They used to be all huge and muscular and fucking just big. Now they're all cracked out, just smoking.
They're either cracked out from smoking too much, or they're all fat because all they eat is beef jerky. Those
yeah.
were too.
That'd be funny if Bigfoot somehow got into like the town and he dug in the trash and now he smokes cigarettes and wears like a fucking old shirt.
He just thinks he's a bum. Man, that bum's huge. He's pushing a cart with cans in it.
Yeah. He has just some old fucking Camp Keep shirt on.
No pants.
Yeah.
Just like fur pants. Oh my God. So on to the next topic.
Yes.
Yeah, what is that?
Speaking of believing something you can't see.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this goes right into something you can't prove.
Big religion.
Big religion.
So what do you guys think? Religion. Wide, huge, open topic.
Where do you
guys want to start it?
I think my personal belief is that religion was created because of a fear of death, like death anxiety. For me personally, like it's hard to deal with. And it's a super comforting thought to think that when we die, it's not over and that you get to do something else.
Yeah. So let's start with, I have a question and you hear it a lot. People say it is that organized religion is the worst thing that has happened to mankind. Do you agree or disagree? Because if you think about it, and I'll tell you where I stand is, I hear that statement and I say, yeah, that's kind of true because it creates issues and problems amongst people and you're fighting, you know, you have people dying for Allah and killing people, you know, in the name of Allah and Christians.
I like the way you say that.
Allah. Allah.
They're going to blow us up. Stop.
That's fine. I have drawings of Muhammad in my house. They won't like them,
man.
And, Dave is Muslim. He's looking at me mad now.
He'd be required to kill you immediately.
He could try.
I can show you my birth certificate.
It's slightly uncomfortable.
No, but
Dave's from Hawaii.
I hear that. I hear it so much. I see that statement and I originally I was like, yeah, that is kind of a true statement. But then I got to thinking about it. And if you think about it, religion has kind of kept man in check.
I think man is the worst thing that's happened to man. I think religion was probably fucking fine until the whole King James thing. And it was like a way to control society. It's like you can't think of a worse punishment if you tried than burning for eternity in hell and being tortured and all your worst nightmares coming true.
Yeah.
Think of something worse than that. You can't do it. So to be like, hey,
but
man,
if you
better
things,
do this shit. Yeah, you better do this shit or that. Then everyone's going to stay in line.
Yeah.
If you follow those 10 commandments, stuff would be, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't, you know, all those things. It would, it's a perfect recipe to control society back then, because why else would anyone be good?
There was no law. Yeah.
So when and it was not,
also, I also think of, I mean, when we look at sort of the heyday of the Roman Catholic Church, and when they were sort of side by side with all the monarchies all through Europe and all of Western, you know, when religion, when Christian religion was really sort of taking the forefront in Western society. And it's like the average person didn't have shit. I mean, they were stick farmers, and I mean, they were, they had nothing, and they were never going to have anything, and everything they produced went to the king and the pope and everything else. They were born poor. Their great great grandfather was born poor. Their great great grandson was going to be born poor. But
you could aspire for
something. Yeah, if I fucking do what I'm told and I'm a good boy, then in the kingdom of heaven,
get to go to heaven.
I get to fucking experience, I get to live like a king.
Right.
You know,
and that's what I think. I think it was something for someone to hold on to aspire to, something that it's going to get better and not worse, because it's fucking scary to think that you're just worm food and then the lights are off. And it's like before you were born. Remember that?
I don't think it's scary. Like, I think I think how I look at it now is that I don't find it. I used to find it scary to be like, oh, man, you're just going to die, like that. That's scary. That sucks. But I think it makes me want to live a better life.
That's true, but it's still fucking scary.
I think if you look at the, but no matter what, we're gonna die. Right. You know what I mean? You can't stop it. You know, and
I can stop it.
I think people
and I will.
I think people get concerned about, well, when I die, I'm gonna go to heaven. You know what I mean? And you know all these things, and every religion is different. I know here where we live, you know, Christianity is prominent, and you know, Christians and Muslims are the biggest religions in the world.
Yes,
and Those
Do you know what the third biggest category is?
New Age.
Non-religious.
Yep.
Number one is Christian with like 33% of the population of the world. Muslims are number two with 21%. And non-religious is number three at 16%. And then all the other faiths follow after that, just which I found really interesting.
Generally like agnostic or
well, and there's
atheist?
A lot of
agnostic atheists just don't believe in a church.
There's a lot of Christians who say, if you ask them, are you Christian? They're going to say, yeah, but they're not religious. Right. You know what I mean? They don't know what it is to be religious, you know what I mean? Or spiritual or anything like that. So, you know, I would categorize them into, you know, not religious, you know what I mean? Like, cause they have no religion. They just identify with that because that's what their parents were.
So, but they haven't really read the Bible and they don't really go to church and they don't really.
Yeah, it's sad.
I think that's most people for sure. Yeah. They say they're religious. They haven't actually read the Bible.
Yeah, it's sad that, you know, I can talk to a person who is religious and who goes to church and I know more about the Bible. I know more about religion or their religion than they do.
Well, I think that a lot of, to answer your question about is it the worst thing, I think a lot of good comes from, I mean, there's like food banks and homeless shelters and all kinds of privately funded things that do come from churches that help. However, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens too.
Yeah.
Especially if you look historically. I mean, historically, the churches were one of the most corrupt entities ever. I mean, they were, I mean, even, and one of our listeners.
I think to this day they still are.
Yeah, they still are.
There's still.
One of our listeners posted this, you know, a response to this actual question, Jason Roskam. And he said on our Facebook account, quote, organized religion is probably the worst thing to ever happen to mankind. There's the short answer to your question. Then he goes on to say, there's nothing wrong with faith or believing in a God, but every organized religion is corrupt in one way or another. Just look at what's going on in the Middle East. Everything ISIS does is in the name of Islam. Same with Al-Qaeda before them. Go back further and look at the Crusades and Christianity. And, you know, which I think is an important point to make. So many people point to, you know, Islamic radicals as, you know, radicals as if everyone who's Islamic is an Islamic radical. Yeah. And B, they ignore all the fucked up shit that the Christian churches have done.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you believe what you want to believe.
Right.
You know what I mean? You see what you want to see.
Yeah.
And you know, organized religion is like we're talking about, is good and bad. You know, like Brent has a point with, you know, it keeps man in check. It keeps you, it has a good rule and guidelines to live by. You know what I mean? Even Muslims, you know, there's New Age, there's Judaism, mm-hmm. there's Buddhist, you know what I mean? They all have some sort of guidelines that you live by, morals, guidelines that you live by. So, you know, I think that that is a good thing. The organization of it, the church, you know, the money end of it, I think is where, you know, money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard that. And I think that that's a true statement.
Yeah. Once again, I don't think it's religion that's the problem. I think it's man that's the problem, and specifically money, you know, and that's probably been consistent. That the issue is the money thing. There are some creepy church guys, like the televangelists, that are like walking around preaching on stage and saying, if you're going to write a check, make sure you make it payable. And like, there's a sign at the bottom, and you're like, what the fuck? Are they preaching about how to write the check? They're all Visa and MasterCard. And you're like, what? That's real. There are videos of fucking preachers saying that shit on stage.
Oh, yeah. And this all gets into one of the biggest problems I have with modern day organized religion is in America is this idea of the tax exempt status. That just because you are a religious organization, you don't have to pay taxes. And the tax exempt status includes federal income tax. So the church itself and the individuals who work for the church don't have to declare income tax. Social Security payments, they don't have to worry about unemployment insurance for their workers. No sales tax if they sell things out of their church themselves. Yep. I'm not sure what excise tax is, but they don't have to deal with that. They don't have property tax. So if you have some big, massive ass church, and most of them are huge, you don't pay any property tax on that. And this is part of the problem is ultimately, I mean, a couple of things come up. First off, the IRS is who decides whether or not you're a religion and if you get that tax exempt status. Yeah. So we're now giving accountants the power to determine whether or not you are an actual faith,
religion,
which is weird. So the IRS determines whether or not you're a religion as far as that goes. But then the ultimate bottom line is citizens who are not religious, if you don't believe in whatever religion you're talking about, you're still, your tax money is paying for that church to exist.
We're footing the bill for the firefighter to show up.
You're paying for the firefighter to show up. You're paying for that church. Yeah. I mean, the church has to generate sales tax.
Yep.
You know, the church has to generate property tax and do all that, but you're paying for it. We're subsidizing every church. So even if you hate Christians or you hate Muslims or you hate Jews or you hate the flying spaghetti monster or you hate whatever, you're paying for their churches. Everyone who gives a donation, if someone dies and leaves $100,000 to a church, if you left that $100,000 to a person, they're going to get like 50,000 of it and the government's going to get the other half.
Right. Yeah.
But with the church, they get all of it and there's no taxes involved. And so, to me, that's pretty fucked up.
I am on that side until I started doing research and I started to realize that the reason and the basis for it is this. It's the separation of church and state, because if you gave the state or federal government power to tax the church, some real weird shit can happen. Then they can strong arm you, because if you have there's like a quote, I don't remember who it was, the power to tax has the power to destroy. So they can start doing weird creepy things by taxing churches a certain way to get them to do this or conform, or maybe to start talking about politics at the fucking podium next Sunday.
Oh, like they're doing to us, huh?
So they have to keep that shit separate. I think, and I'm not an economist, I think the ultimate answer for all this shit, the whole 1%, how come corporations have this loophole or this person has this loophole, if every single private individual in the United States as a citizen at the individual level, if we all just paid a certain amount of fucking tax, wouldn't that just be fair? If you just paid tax, there was no special tax for churches, special taxes for that, special tax for this. When I buy bubble gum, it's fucking 7.5% or whatever. And then this state has this has that. If everyone just paid a federal fucking flat tax and there was no exceptions, you make money, you pay tax. The firefighter will save you. The police will come save you. The roads will be paved. It just seems to me that makes more sense.
The issue is, and they were talking about a flat tax. I mean, that's been talked about.
Yeah, it's been thrown.
And I might be horribly wrong. Someone's going to yell at me why I'm retarded.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, that's the thinking. But you got to think we're already, damn near $20 million or $20 trillion or whatever, trillion dollars in debit.
The church is like a $100 billion industry or something, though. I mean,
trillions. Is cancer. I mean, cancer is billions of dollars. That's all nonprofit, you know? I don't know. Like, I mean, who knows? We're not economists and we're not politicians. You know, it's one of those things. The other part of it is getting everybody on board. You have to have everybody say, yes, that's what we want.
Right.
And nobody's going to do that. you know.
And when it comes to the, because one of the things when I started looking at the tax exempt status is I instantly wondered, well, how much money do churches make in the course of the year? Like, what are they generating? And the number, it was hard for anyone to agree on the numbers, but the number that I saw most people quoting was somewhere around $70 billion a year was how much U.S. churches pull in generate. And they generate with, you know, with no taxes. So I started to wonder what this meant. And so $71 billion is enough to put a Mars rover into space every 2 weeks for the entire year.
Wow.
$71 billion is enough to pay for the entire food stamp and welfare program in the United States for a year. $62 billion is enough to pay for all tuition in all public schools in the nation for a year. And $74 billion is enough to pay for all the prisons in America for a year. And so that's the amount of money.
But you're also quoting the total amount of money, not the taxation of that quantity of money, probably.
I am, but let's look at the – I mean, how much – I mean, if that's how much is being spent on all prisons –
right.
I can't imagine how much money is being regenerated by those prisons because of taxes.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's I'm just pointing out what a major sector of the income or what a major sector that's of exempt. Income that is. That's totally exempt from paying taxes and that we ourselves are propping up.
The other slippery slope is like when those fucking preachers come up in their private jet and like a fucking Mercedes and stuff. Like at what
and they
point,
didn't have to pay taxes for any of that shit.
Yeah. Is it just a percentage? Like how do they draw the line of how lavish they live? Like that, there's that one guy that would like pull up, like fly up and land on a runway and just walk out at the stairs like fucking president of the fucking of heaven and start talking to people with fucking like, you know, pimp glasses on and a fucking necklace and five rings. Yeah. Like,
I think
that's just crazy.
I think he was president of heaven.
Yes.
I think he got elected.
Yeah. And one of the things too, like if, when you look at churches, look at, I mean, even here in our city or everywhere else, you see these huge, huge, massive churches.
Major. Yeah.
And then you see churches that are in high schools because they can't afford to make it.
Right.
You know, I mean, like there's a huge scale of difference between, you know, a church that's generating millions of dollars as opposed to a church that's just barely scraping by, you know, and I wonder if there's animosity between churches as far as, you know, you're a pastor, you know, you're a preacher, you're, you know, whatever, and you're out there just struggling, trying to get your church going and trying to get everything moving and get a building. And then you have these huge churches that are just trying to take your people.
Yeah, it's Valley Bible. I mean? Valley Bible's like the
Valley Bible,
Santo
Canyon
of
Hills,
church.
You know, I mean, there's tons of huge churches and they have, you know, thousands of people, literally. Mm-hmm. And I have friends, you know, that are Pentecostal, that are, you know, regular, you know, just standard Baptist Christians or whatever, you know, that are Jewish, you know, I have friends that are Mormon. And one of the funny things is the talk, you know, we all talk together about certain things. And, you know, I try not to, you know, make anybody upset or say anything that's going to hurt their feelings.
You're known for that.
Yeah. I sugarcoat everything.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, just because, you know, I just want to, you know, be a nice guy. But no, that you get into interesting conversations because, you know, there's, you always end up with, well, you're right and I'm right. You know what I mean? Or you're wrong and I'm wrong.
Right.
You know, there is no compromise. There is no in the middle, you know, and I think that this big, you know, we're talking about big religion, you know, and the money that they generate, you know, now it's gotten to the point I read that these churches are, you know, the Old Testament, you tithe 10%.
Right.
So if you make $4,000, you're going to tithe 10% of that money in the month.
Right.
Well, that's on top of your taxes. You're paying taxes.
Sure.
The church doesn't pay taxes. You know, so you're getting taxed, you know, 300% now by everybody.
Right.
And that money goes to them. Well, now they're starting to say that, you know, it should be more than 10% now. It's 10% is the minimum. You know, you want to give as much as you can to, you know, to be blessed more.
Right. I mean, and you have to realize like the church has to have a building. They have to have a bathroom. They want to have a preschool facility, a fence. The gardener has to take care of the lawn. Shit happens. And then like,
nobody wants to go to a shitty church.
Yeah. They got 200 seats. Yeah. 200 seats. And then all of a sudden, oh, hey, my cousin's going to start coming. There's no place for him to sit. Let's get a folding chair. And then pretty much it's like, hey, we need to make some more room.
Yep.
And it gets bigger. And then more people like that church because the guy's enthusiastic, you know, and it gets bigger. It's like anything. It's like the Monopoly thing. It's, you know, capitalism. It just gets bigger because it gets more popular and more people want to do it. Ultimately, what you have to think about, as long as they're not being taken advantage of and they're happy, I'm almost envious sometimes because I don't have a religious belief. Like, my personal belief is I'm fucking worm food or blacked out, or I do have some crazy simulation theory things that I think about from time to time.
Sure.
But that's another day. But when I look, like, my family is religious, and like they think they die and they're fucking going to heaven and it's going to be paradise and they live forever. We're going to go see grandpa and stuff. And I don't feel that way. But man, on the day that I go, like, it would be nice to think that, you know what I mean? So I'm envious in that way.
Well, and this is where I think it gets blurry, because there's, if you read the Bible, and this is going off Christian Bible, you know, and I don't know about, you know, the Muslim Bible and, you know, Judaism and all this stuff. But as far as the Christian Holy Bible with the New Testament, Jesus, everything, you know, you're told that, you know, people think that they're going to go see grandma and grandpa. When the Bible, it says that you're not going to remember anybody. They're not going to know you. So it seems to me it's a big trick and ploy, you know, like a hook, line, and sinker, you know, to get everybody here, get them into a building, get them all into a place. They're going to pay their money, and we're going to have this huge organization.
And you know what, man? To be honest, like, if we all actually lived by the Bible, like, you probably don't want to fucking go, right? We don't want to go. We don't want to do that. If it was like a big church party,
right?
And everyone's like, "Hey, brother, sister, how you doing? Like, it's so great to see you all." Fucking, I can't say that. You can't have a beer. Like, we're not gonna chill out. You can't watch your horror flick.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do. It's not. That's not what we want. That's not our paradise. Yeah. That's not my paradise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, other than not dying, I guess that's the big thing. Seeing my family members or friends that have passed and not dying would be my big reason to go. But otherwise, I don't want to go to that place.
Well, and the funny thing about all of the religions is a lot of them have that, you know, where there's a paradise, you know, at some point you either go to hell, Hades, whatever you want to call it, or you go to heaven with God, and that's your paradise. You know, there's two things. There's no in the middle, and that's it. There's other religions, Buddhism, where it's a cycle. You know, you come back, and the whole goal is to not come back.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, there's so many different forms and religions, and the way that they, I think it's just when you're growing up, your parents are a certain way, and that's what you are. You know what I mean? Like, you're, you know,
unless you're a very rare child.
Yeah.
During childhood, you're going to believe whatever your
parents. If they're taking you to church and they're, you know, you're going and coloring pictures of Jesus and Noah and the ark and all the animals and singing the songs, that's what you grow up to believe, you know? And I think that, you know, once you start thinking outside the box, things can change or they don't. It's just how you're built. And, you know, it's a very thin line. And the other thing is, I think it's gotten to the point where, in my honest opinion, and this has nothing to do with money, I think it's come down to brainwashing. You know, I mean, I think a child is too young to understand what religion is, what a God is, what they are. You know what I mean? So
it's tough for me. I kind of just stay out of the conversation at home, to be honest. Like,
no, my kids talk about it.
I showed a picture. I showed Maddox our cover art for this week's episode. And he was like, I was like, "Who is that?" And he's like, "Oh, it's Bigfoot and some guy in the forest." My wife got kind of like, she's like, that's kind of sad. You know, it's Bigfoot, isn't it?
It's Bigfoot and a Jedi.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's is that Obi-Wan?
One of the greatest quotes, my ex's brother, man, he was younger. I think he was like in high school though, had to have been. And it was Easter dinner. And he's like, "Man," he's like, "what's Jesus have to do with Easter?" And I just died. I mean, he's, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
And their family's religious, you know? And so.
And that's part, I mean, the whole thing about churches, specifically like a typical middle of the road, like Baptist Christian American church, they're so baffling because I know so many people who claim that they're Christians and they say they're a member of this particular church. And it's like they go to church six times a year. It's like they go on all the big holidays. Yeah. They
my
go
grandma, because my grandma called them the C&E crowd, Christmas and Easter.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's, no, and that's the whole thing. And it's like, yeah. Oh, or you know, or my grandma who's really big into the church. It's her birthday, so I got to go this Sunday because it'll mean a lot to her. Yeah. And it's like they've never really read the Bible. They don't really go to church. Like there's, I know a lot of people that are in that category, but I also like I see some people and. Brent, you said earlier that you were sort of envious of people who believe in this afterlife and you know what it does for them. The thing that I'm envious of is if you're actually part of a smaller church, a decent church, that sense of community mm-hmm. would really be awesome. Like right. if you yeah. all shared this common belief and once yeah. a week, you and these people that you felt spiritually bonded with got in a room and you all decided together this money that we're giving, we want to send people here to yeah. help build an orphanage, or we want to do scholarships, or we want to send it for AIDS research, or we like that would be a pretty cool thing. Yeah. For sure. Right.
Well, because you'd be making some sort of a difference. Right.
But that doesn't tend to be what most churches, I mean, one of my favorite ever, like when I lived back in Michigan, a friend of mine took me to like a hardcore black church
yeah.
with the stereotypical black preacher just preaching his ass off up front, you know, stopping and
party, meet, man. You know, fucking, can I get awesome.
An amen? And the crowd is amening and there's people shaking in their seats and got the yeah. spirit. And every time he's talking, someone's like, I feel you, brother. And just like, and then yeah. like all of a sudden he's talking and jumping up and down and he starts like pointing his finger at the chorus and they yeah. just and start breaking start going, into a yeah. song. And then yeah. everybody's up on their feet. And I was like, this is fucking fantastic. Like, yeah. I don't share any of your spiritual beliefs at the end of the day, but I went back for a couple months because yeah. it was just so amazing. It's and they all knew each other. Yeah. And I showed up the second week and everybody was like, oh, we're so glad you came back. And they were like, so genuine. Yeah. Like, I can see the appeal of that.
Yeah.
But if you don't share that, like, maybe we should start like a church for people who don't really believe in church, and we'll just get together every Sunday.
It's called Scientology.
Like, yeah, no, that's a pyramid scheme.
I have a religion I was going to start if you guys want to join. I've already got the base rules down. It's called Jawadism.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. It's Jesus was a time traveler, and so one of us is going to invent time travel, go back in time, and instill a set of rules for society, and drop the Bible off.
That's a good. I like yeah. that religion.
Yeah,
I like
and our logo religion. Is Jesus in a DeLorean with his thumb out, and the flux capacitor is yeah. our crucifix.
When I was in college, I wanted to start a religion, and in order to, and I realized this was going to be a very small religion, but I wanted to start a religion in which the only people that could join the religion had been permanently kicked out of another religion.
So you had to get
excommunicated.
So it's like Fight Club?
Exactly.
It's like Fight Club for religion.
Like you had to prove that you got excommunicated from the Catholic Church, that you were banned from Mormonism. That
it's easier to do with some religions than others.
Much easier.
Like if you were a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you can get banned from the church.
Right.
But it'd be harder in a Baptist church or like something.
No, it'd be very hard.
Yeah, I mean, unless you fuck the preacher's daughter or something, I mean, you could probably get away with it.
Oh, you can pull
it. But that would be that church, though. Yeah. I wonder how you get banned from an entire religion.
I don't know. But then the ultimate goal is like if you wanted to be.
It's pretty hard if you forgive.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you wanted to be a preacher or you wanted to move up the scale in the religion, you would then have to get kicked out of multiple religions.
Ooh.
So you would have to join another church just to figure out what their sin was that would get you kicked out. Like, I've been in going to this one church for like 4 years. I still haven't done anything horrible enough to get kicked out yet. So I can't promote within my actual church. That would be a fantastic church.
That'd be crazy. I'm like interested in
See?
That.
See? That's a good
I'm very interested.
Because you would know that everyone in the crowd,
yeah.
you know, had
shares
done some
your
shit.
Same.
Yeah. They did some shit. You know, that's all I'm saying. I don't know what yeah. you did.
We're
you don't
all
have
equals.
To, you
We're
don't have to
equals.
Disclose why you got excommunicated, but fucking thumbs up. Yeah. Whatever you did, you committed.
I don't feel like you shouldn't yeah. be able to get kicked out. They should be able to try to like help you out and forgive you and get you back to
well,
good.
Well, that's the whole point of our religion.
Right.
I saw a really cool thing where there was a church that there was going to be a new pastor or preacher. This guy was like sleeve tattoos, long hair, yeah. beard, and he went in like raggedy clothes.
Right.
No one said hi. No one talked to him. He sat at the back. People were kind of indifferent to him and judgmental. And then at the end of the introduction from the guy who was leaving, he said, I'd like to call forward Pastor, you know, Rick Stevenson. Blah, blah, blah. And that dude came walking up and people were just like, oh, damn. Like, oh, man, I'm in trouble. Yeah, like busted. Like, and he walked up and he said, hey, I've been here like for two visits now. Not one of you guys has shaken my hand and said hello, this and that. And I think that was awesome. You know?
Yeah, that is awesome.
Something else you brought up earlier, too, about like pain. This bothers the hell out of me. And I don't know if it bothers everyone, if I'm just being weird. But when churches send someone off to like fucking Haiti or something to build a hut, I think it is just ridiculous free vacation. I really think that. I think a fucking plane ticket for two people. I know they're helping people, but their dollar would go a lot further and next door. You could. How many people could you have fed? How many people could you have clothed? Right next door to you, right down the street, one town over.
I have a buddy right now who is planning, I think August 3rd, I think he's leaving to go to Canada. And he's going to, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Dream Center. He was talking to me about it. And I seen it on TV. The Dream Center is like a hardcore like teen challenge, but it's like hardcore for drug addicts and like, you know, adults.
Right.
And it's just, he's going there to help. And, but he's been to Africa like six times or four times or something like that. And they go, and what they do is it's not about the money and helping. It's about ministering. You know, so they basically go out into the indigenous jungle of Africa and they find these tribes that are excommunicated from society and they preach the gospel to those tribes.
Right.
And, you know, and he said one of the things that they always ask him is, you know, well, how come if this is true, how come we're barely hearing about it? You know what I mean? Or anything. And he's like, it costs so much money to come out here just to find you guys.
I think that's crazy. You know what I mean? Because like, if that shit was real, God would find a way and tell them already. So how many people already died that didn't know about that? And that brings me back to the thing of like, if a mentally handicapped person is born, and no offense to anyone, even though Brad closes the show with the fucking don't be a retard, if a mentally handicapped person is born and they have the IQ of a four-year-old and they make it to age 30 or whatever, and they die, where do they go? Do they go to heaven? What's the church say about that? Because well, if they do, how fair is that?
Like, and every religion is different.
But
like,
my problem is that's a free ticket to heaven, right? That's a free
ticket.
Well,
not necessarily. If in Buddhism, he's going to come back as something else. Maybe
but in Christianity, though, that's what I'm saying. It's a flaw.
Before.
It's like, oh, move on through to paradise.
It's one of those things. Yeah, and the thing is, though, that like, I have an issue with religion because I think if you're a good person, regardless, I don't think just because you didn't believe in something doesn't make you a bad person. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's where Mormons, you know, and this is where people have taken, you know, oh, we're going to take this, but we're going to modify it because I don't like that. So this is how I think it is.
Right. We're going to cut that part
out. And Mormons, you know, they have a seven layers of heaven. And, you know, just because you don't believe, you're not going to go with.
That's my favorite ice cream cake at Baskin Robbins.
Seven layer heaven cake. Uh-huh. But you're not going to go with God, but you're going to go, you know, down a couple layers. You're still in heaven. You're not in hell because you weren't a bad person. You know what I mean? So I think they have something, but it appeals to certain people. Sure. You know what I mean? Like you do these things and this is where you'll be at, you know? And but one of the biggest things for me is that it's the brainwashing, you know, from a little kid all the way up, or even if you're an adult and you get into it, you're brainwashed.
Right.
I mean, it is an obvious, blatant brainwashing that you have no opinion for yourself.
And it's tricky because, I mean, when you're a kid and you first bump up against death and you're trying to make sense of it, and your parents just say, oh, well, here's the thing, Timmy. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And grandma was really good, so she actually went to heaven, and that's where she's going to live on forever. Yeah.
Let's go to lunch.
And let's go to lunch.
Well, and how do you know that she went to heaven? You're not judging her.
But it just, I mean, you're instantly set to that. So when you're afraid of death as a child, and that's what you're told, you're fucking clinging to it. And it might take you 25 years to finally kind of shake that programming that got you through a really difficult time in your childhood and to kind of rationally start to think about it. And it's, I mean, I'm really thankful to my mom that when I was a kid, she didn't raise us with those beliefs. Yeah. She raised us with a whole other kind of weird new age, pseudo Buddhist reincarnation-y kind of thing. But again, I found myself having to be an adult before I finally questioned what my mom said was the case, you know, because that was still what was ingrained in me. And I still had to step away from it and realize, oh, I don't know that I necessarily believe in that stuff. But it still sticks with you. Like whatever, you know, if you're a kid and you're taught, nope, she's dead. She's gone forever. I hope she was good while she was here. Then that's what you're going to have to, to get past.
One of the things is I always tell, you know, friends or family or anything that that talks to me about it is that is, you know, everybody has a need for something. You know what I mean? You have a hole in your life, whether it be to have a child, whether it be to have a partner, whether it be, you know, God, you know, and spiritual need, you know, everybody has that. I don't have a need. I don't have a hole. I feel complete. And I think that people who don't feel complete or are missing something find religion. And that's where they get plugged into these big churches and they have a community, that sense of community you're talking about. And they have that whole feeling now that they are complete, that they're serving something bigger than they are. And I think that that's how we're made. And one of the issues is that, you know, people, you can't force somebody to go to church because you're not being genuine. I'll go to a church. I'll walk into a church. I'll sit in a church. I'll talk to people, but I'm not going to be fake. I'm going to tell them exactly how I feel. And I don't feel the same way. And if you honestly believe in a God and you believe that there is somebody with a path and a destiny and that knows what's going on, they made me this way.
Exactly.
So it's for a reason.
Right.
If you can't accept that, which most people can't, then that's on you. You know what I mean? Like
that's been a lot of my issue is like, I would struggle back in the day, and I've come to terms with this is like, it's not fair. Like I would be like, why is that fair? Like how come the mentally handicapped kid gets to go straight to heaven or why would that make any sense that I have to do this, this, and this, or I burn in hell forever? I didn't even ask for this. But then I realize, and I go back and forth and I'm like, well, it doesn't have to be fair. Like if somehow I rose to some technological power and transcended and I had complete control over molecular, you know, construction and matter, and I was powerful enough to make a religion and create a planet, whatever weird sadist thing I wanted to make happen, if I said you had to eat spaghetti every fucking Sunday or you can't join my club, that's my fucking rule.
I wrote the rules, bitch.
I wrote the rules. So then I was like, well, fuck, man. If he's got floating clouds and harps and big white beards and you got to fucking love everybody on Sunday, it's his fucking club. If you want to be in his club, that's what you got to do. So then I calmed myself down off that. But I made myself realize that I can't fake it. In the end, no matter how hard I try, if I only get in the club by accepting Jesus Christ as my savior,
can't do it.
I can't fake it. I'm lying. There's no way for me to believe it.
So you're
not
going to heaven.
So then make me believe it then. If it's real, then make me believe it. I can't just believe it. There's nothing I can do about that. You can't make me believe something I don't believe. So that's how I rationalize with it. But I got no problem with everybody doing their thing. Just don't impose it on me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's part of the problem. I think especially for anyone who is not a Christian, you've probably experienced this fucking
the fringe,
Christian.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck, they're trying to convert me. Like, and it's real. I mean, it's annoying as shit, you know.
And there's some cool ones that don't. They'll drop.
No, there's plenty. But again, it's just like such this uniquely Christian thing. Like my friends who are Buddhist, I've never had them given me a hard sell to become Buddhist. My friends who are Jews, they've never been like, dude, Dave, let me talk to you about Judaism. Oh,
Dave,
like,
you should talk to my uncle, the cow.
Like, it just doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah, it's right now prominently Muslims and Christians are the very big push for joining the club, you know. And I was telling you guys about this before we started, and I stopped talking about it because I was going to talk about it on here. That I was reading of the different large religions, which was Christianity, Muslim, New Age, which I didn't even know what New Age was, but apparently you are your own God in New Age. Pretty cool. And it's probably some weird, like, crazy thing, though.
Isn't it all? It's all.
Yeah, no, it's Buddhism. My mom was New Age. That's how.
It was kind of the cycle type thing. Yep. You are your own God, and then and it was explaining all these different religions, and I'm like, oh wow, this is cool. Like I'm learning about, you know, some things I didn't know about certain religions, about the bigger ones, and then it explains all this stuff about each religion, and I'm keep reading in paragraph by paragraph, and then it starts talking about, you know, you need to accept Jesus Christ into your life. And you need
all these
and this is why you need to go to church, and this is that, and Jesus is your savior, and all this stuff. And I was like, I thought I was reading an informational, you know, website, and they fucking tricked me into the fucking Christian clan. And so, I was like, God damn it.
Did you convert?
No.
Okay.
Did you look up at the, I think it's important that we talk about the origin at some point in time before we're done, like the origins of religion, the whole Egyptian, the repetitive story of how the whole born of a virgin.
Well, some of the first texts that were written of, you know, some sort of religion are the Sumerian texts.
Right.
Yeah. And you get all the way back to the Epic of Gilgamesh and you read that and it's like the same stories from the Bible are in this story. And it was thousands of years before the Bible.
Like the Sumerian texts, it has information on aliens and people coming from the skies and stuff like that. And the original Bible, you know, they came out with that Bible from 2,000 years ago or whatever it was, and it had 10 of the missing books in it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those books, they talked about that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. And this was in the Holy Bible.
Right.
So those were all taken out, you know.
The Bible is a radically different Bible. I remember one of my graduate classes in philosophy, we studied a lot of different sort of alternate spirituality and stuff. And one of the things that my professor talked about, and I might be wrong with the name of it, but there was a council called the Council of Lyons, and it edited the Bible. And one of the things they most notably did was they removed all references to reincarnation from the Bible because it didn't suit the current church's beliefs. And it's like, I mean, you get things like that happening from time to time. They'll add stuff, they'll remove stuff. Yeah. And I mean, which is especially problematic for a religion that's based around the fact that this book is the word of God.
Yeah.
If that book is the word of God, but we can keep fucking changing it, that's kind of
And then just
sketchy.
Loss in translation and language conversions. Right. Like there's all kinds of things that don't translate well. I mean, and
even
makes
old,
a huge deal.
Old Hebrew is different from New Hebrew.
Right.
And I mean, you know, there's so many different things. It's just crazy. Like, and I don't know. I think, you know, on the topic of big religion, I find religion off-putting.
It is. And one thing, and this actually leads me to a thing I want to do from one of our listeners who wrote in. I remember when I watched the HBO series Rome, which takes place in ancient Rome and it deals with Caesar and all this stuff. And I remember, like, as a non-Christian, I was watching it and like the way that they portrayed them worshiping like the pantheon of Roman gods, like A, it seemed pretty ludicrous, but B, it just made a hell of a lot more fucking sense than anything. Like there was something that just kind of made sense about it. It was like, oh, I'm going to battle tomorrow. I better do something to appease the god of war. And they would do something and go to that person's church and say a little thing and then give some money to that church because they're doing war tomorrow. And it's like, there you
hopefully
go.
They'll
and
help
it's
them
like,
out.
It'll hopefully, but these old religions are kind of interesting. But one of our listeners posted on Facebook, Zachary Smith, he said, I've been interested in the idea of the Norse religion making a comeback. Supposedly some of the white power groups in jail are claiming it as a full-fledged religion and are requesting a hall to be built. And then he said, not sure if this is true or not. And I can confirm that it is indeed true. There's a religion called Asatru, A-A-S-A-T-R-U, which means the Asir faith, and they follow old Odin, they call it Odinism as well, the idea of Odin and Thor and Freya and all the Viking gods, like they're being worshipped again. And they're specifically associated with white power, Aryanism, white supremacist leanings, like for just because I guess it's the Aryan part of the world. But there's like a big upswell of Asatru going on in American prisons where people who are joining white power are starting to find this religion while they're in church and they're actually like worshiping Odin. And I guess the whole thing, I mean, that whole religion would really tie, I mean, it's a warrior religion. I mean, if you did okay in life, you'll go to Asgard. If you did shitty in life, you'll go to hell. But if you were a noble warrior, you go to Valhalla, you go to the Hall of the Gods and you fight eternally for the honor of Odin and you never die and you fight in glorious battle until the end of the world comes. And it's like, I could see that being a very appealing thing to like a group of white supremacist people. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be a warrior. I'm going to die in battle. And
well,
I'm
and how do you get people to follow you? How do you get people to follow you and be a warrior?
I think that's clearly originally a religion that was like developed because it was wartime type of, you know, they're like, you got to just do it. If you die, same thing with Islam. Like if you die, you're going to have like all the virgins in heaven. And
samurais killed themselves because they wanted to die honorably in battle, because like, they're going to come back. You know, you don't want to come back as a one-horned goat. You know, you want to come back as, you know,
but again,
the,
that gets
warrior.
Down, it gets down to the idea of brainwashing. Emperor. I mean, when we have cultures that, for whatever reason, whether it's just thrust upon them based on proximity or whatever, but if you have a culture that is constantly at war,
yep.
you need, just like the U.S. Army will take a regular person, break them down, rebuild them as a soldier. Yep. Fuck having basic training. If I can build you up from the first time you find out that
you
grandfather died,
everybody.
When there's a kid and it's like, grandfather died, I'm sad. And you're like, don't worry, Timmy. He died with honor. And he is sitting at Odin's side with a spear where he will be for all eternity. And now you shall take up his spear. You're like, oh shit, that's legit.
I'm
you
a
know?
Fucking warrior, it's God like, damn it.
I mean, you start that from, so I think a lot of religions that do that are, I mean, you're already indoctrinating them to be warriors when you need warriors. You know?
And I think what people don't think about too is like back then, there was nothing to do. Like when that shit got dark, there was no lights. There was nothing other than sitting around a fire and
telling stories
and looking at the stars, which was your giant plasma screen. And back then you could see stars.
Yeah.
Like there's light pollution now. Like we don't even have an idea. Like you can drive out off some mountain highway and look up and be in awe because you have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
What most of the people on Earth don't know what the sky looks like.
Right.
Like if you go to a dark area where there's not light pollution, it's insane and amazing. And they had nothing to do but 365 days a year. Look at that, study that. They could tell it moved a little bit yesterday and it moved and it moved. And that's the whole procession of the equinox. And so a lot of the religions are supposedly based off of those characters, the zodiac, the 12 characters of the zodiac. And so what I wanted to talk about, there was in Egypt in 3000 BC, there was the story of Horus, which mirrors the story of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So 12 disciples born of a virgin died, reborn 3 days later, born on December 25th. And then it just keeps getting repetitive in every single other religion. That story repeats and repeats and repeats. I don't understand how, like, everyone's just like, nah, don't worry about
that. Well, the Bible I was talking about, the one they found, I think it was from 2000 BC. So that would be a thousand years after that. So, I mean, and that's pretty much the same thing.
Like, my concern is, though, like, if we had a priest or someone on here that's, like, knows his shit, and we say, like, this is a fact, like, in Egypt, what do you say to that? That this story already happened, but you call him Jesus, and this person calls him Mithra, and this other person has a story, and India has the same story, and the flood story comes, and they're all way before you're saying your stuff happened.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say to that? Like, and it's documented, just like yours is documented.
Yeah, right. It's a book.
How do they argue that?
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, too, like, the reason that those aren't out and easy to find anymore is because once the Christian religion got big, everything, just like they edited the Bible to be what they wanted it to be, they've moved those religions back and put those off the back burner and took those out and probably burned them. You know what I mean? They probably burned any documents, anything that could lead to anything else besides what they are running, got rid of it.
Yeah, and people have a problem stepping outside of their own box. I mean, everyone struggles with trying to be open-minded and think about it because we're naysaying a bunch of stuff. But I wanted to be clear that I'm fine with whatever you believe. Yeah. I'm not trying to push this on you. We're talking about what we want to talk about so you can hear our opinion. But I think you need to look a little bit. Open your eyes just a little bit and look around. Because if you're a Christian and you go read that stuff, what do you say? Like, I know you say
And that's interesting, like, because – and that's a good point, because most people, you ask that question and most people are going to be like, it's not real or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or it's a break off of our stuff, you know, or whatever. Like, I think, you know, you're going to choose whatever you think is the correct thing. You know what I mean? Like, I believe this, that's what it is.
Right.
That story, you know, God of Horus said this, is etched in stone in like the ruins of Luxor. Like, you can go and see that. It's translated. They know that's there. It's been there for thousands of years. So it's hard to
but
say that.
The thing is, though, like, most people don't know about that. That's what I'm saying.
Don't.
Like, that's in a different country. It's not in the history books. You know what I mean? There's nothing about it anywhere.
Right.
You have to actually go and seek out that information.
Did you guys
know? You're only one-sided and only viewing one thing, that's what you're going to see. You know, if you want a God, you're going to find a God somewhere.
Did you know that other than the Bible, there is no historical representation of any record of any man being named Jesus during any of those times? Other than there's four mentions total that people reference. One of them was clearly debunked and it's fake or something. The other three, they just say Christ or something else that just translates to the anointed one. And it's like a couple sentences, three times in all of history.
Yeah.
And my problem is if some guy could walk on water and cure blind people and he's running all over doing this stuff and he's dying and being reborn and rising to heaven, you think that would go down on paper somewhere. Because there's no Netflix.
You gotta think
that's
about,
some pretty popular shit.
But you got to think about the time too. They didn't, people probably couldn't write.
Right.
People probably couldn't read. You know what I mean? Like there is, that's why this got so popular is because the people who had control over the other people, they built churches. They came, they were poor. They still gave their money. You know what I mean?
All I'm really getting at is it is etched in stone in Egypt. So start worshiping Horus then.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, and I think even before that was the Sumerian text and those were written.
Yeah,
in a book.
And you're not even stepping
like
on
your
toes.
There.
It's all the same. Yeah. It's the same rules.
It's
like it says in some of the Egyptian hieroglyphics, the Ten Commandments are there. It says, I have not lied. And it got translated to, thou shalt not lie. I have not killed. Thou shalt not kill. And this is all before Christianity, and it's all etched in stone.
Yeah.
So it's like, follow that then. You know?
Yeah.
It's before, and it's in stone.
But that's
and
not
it
what
doesn't
you're
conflict
taught.
Your view.
You know what I mean? That's not what you're taught. If you, right now, if you took something and said, this is what I want my child to believe because I think it's cool. And you started preaching to him and teaching him that stuff and taking him places and showing him stuff. That's what they're going to believe.
Sure.
That's what's going to be there.
Jawadism is going to happen. I'm going to have t-shirts and there's going to be an app on iTunes.
Well, Dave, do you have a way to get kicked out of that? Because I'm getting kicked out of it.
No way.
I'm getting banned.
I'll go back in time and fix you. I'll stop.
So what do we have left? Is there
you know, talk about a winner and thank our sponsors?
Yeah,
sponsors,
we wanted to thank we were going to give this week's swag to Zachary Smith for giving us a chance to talk about Odin. I don't get to talk about Odin very often, so if you gave us a chance and you also joined our conversation on Facebook, then that's how you get some swag. So if you like us, find it on Facebook. We usually post some questions midweek, so join our conversation, ask us questions, post possible topics that you'd like us to talk about because we're always happy to talk about what you guys want to talk about. And as always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Red Ridge Beard Company, Digital Creations here in Bakersfield, and Baco Skate Co. For giving us the swag that we give away in our swag bag.
And if you're a sponsor that listens to the podcast and you have some kind of product, maybe hit us up on the side and we can mention you. And if you got some stuff we can give away, that'd be awesome.
And as always, don't be a retard.